You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Good morning, everyone. Everyone, it's good to see you in the house this morning. God is good all the time. Just wanted to see if you were awake. We are in this series, and as Candace said just a moment ago, we're going to conclude it today. Next week, Pastor Tim is going to be coming in during Palm Sunday, our former lead pastor. We're excited to have him in the house and teaching a message that you don't want to miss. It's going to be really, really good. And then, of course, it's Easter, and I do want to encourage you, invite people to come to Easter service. We'll have Easter service Saturday night, services on Sunday morning at our normal times, and it's a perfect time to invite people in the house. People will come to church because of an invitation. The normal percentage is something like 7 out of 10 people will come if you invite them, and that's pre-COVID. I think it's actually higher now because people are hungry now, and then they're open in a way that they haven't been for God and for meeting with Him and a relationship with Him. So I want to encourage you to invite. There are invite cards out in the lobby. Make sure you grab those and take them with you. Invite a friend, invite a neighbor, invite a coworker to be here in the house on Easter. And then right after Easter, we're going to go into a series, just to kind of let you know where we're going. We're going to go into a series on marriage and relationships, talk probably a little bit about dating, talk a little bit about sex. It's going to be a good series, and you need it, and your friends need it, and this world needs it. So just to put a bug in your ear, not to miss that, and to invite people to come to that. We're in a series called Everyone. Everyone, everywhere matters to God is the whole point of this series. And our theme verse for the series comes out of Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And it simply says this, the Son of Man, this is Jesus speaking about himself, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. And listen, we believe as Christians that without Jesus, we're lost. Without Jesus, we don't have the door to heaven open for us, but Jesus came to open the door. Jesus came to restore us into relationship with the Father, and every person on the planet needs to know that. Every person on the planet is under God's sovereign plan that he would encounter them and he would invite them in to come to spend eternity with him, and we need to be a part of that. As believers, as followers of Jesus, if you're here in the house today and you're following Christ, that's part of your job. That part of your job and part of your responsibility is to share the good news with others. I just want to say a greeting to those who are here today. Maybe you're new or you're newer in the house. Maybe you've come for the first time today. I just want to say you're in a good place. You're in the right place. You're going to leave encouraged today if you haven't been encouraged already. I don't know what your background is in church. If you have any background at all in church, we're a little bit of a weird group. We like to shout. We like to sing. We like to clap, but that's because we believe Jesus is alive and he's moving today. And there's a reason to be excited about him and about what he's doing. And so if you're new, we just want to say welcome and put your seatbelt on. You're in a good place. If you're coming hungry today, maybe you're just feeling empty. You feel like you need encouragement. You're discouraged. You're going to be encouraged today. You're going to leave with a sense that you've been fed, that God is here to meet with you. And I just want to tell that to everybody in the house, whatever your age is, whatever your background is, whether you feel like you got tricked in coming here this morning because you know somebody told you, hey, I'll feed you lunch afterwards or whatever, it's going to be okay. You're in a good place, and I want you to know that God has a plan for you, and he has a word for you, and he wants to meet with you. Whether you feel far away from God or whether you feel really close to him today, he's meeting with you. He's calling out to you, and he has a word of life for you. Now, we're going to talk today about everyone and how everyone is commissioned by the Holy Spirit. And this whole message, rather this whole series, has been about encouraging our church and encouraging each one of us to raise the temperature on our understanding of how important it is for us to carry the message of the good news of who Jesus is to the world. And sometimes we forget that, particularly in our culture, that oftentimes seems to press against us sharing with others because, you know, there's just something in our culture that says, no, you don't try to tell other people that they're wrong. Don't try to tell other people that there's the right way and there's a wrong way. But I just want to tell you, if you have good news that can save someone's life, then we have a responsibility to share that with them. And so we are, in fact, a countercultural people. God has called us actually to be a little bit different. If you look just exactly like the world and you act just exactly like the world, something's wrong. Something's wrong with your relationship with Jesus. And so we're actually called to come out, to be different, and to walk differently. And as we do that and we share the love of Jesus with others, then they're actually coming to know him, and they're being transformed. They're coming to a salvation knowledge, a saving knowledge of Jesus, and their lives are starting to change. And that's not just something that's happened a long time ago. That's happening today. I'm going to actually invite Chad, Pastor Chad, to come up, and also Stacy Gaston to come up, and just to share with us two stories about some recent salvations that are happening as we're kind of stepping into this realm. Have you noticed that people are more open now than they have been in a long time? They're more hungry now than they have been in a long time. All of us have been touched by mortality. All has been touched by death. The systems that we relied on to fulfill us have been broken. And so people are a little bit uneasy right now, and they're reaching out for the Lord. They're hungry, and we need to be there to be an answer. So tell us a little bit about a salvation story that's happened recently in your life.
Well, at my house, there's a mix of kids quite a bit there. I have two kids still at the house that are in their young 20s, and there's always kids there. I guess we're the Kool-Aid house for the 20-year-olds or something like that now. But they're always there. You know, we're cutting off exhaust systems to make the cars louder. We're putting motors on their bicycles. You know, we're doing a lot of things with these kids to help them out. And we break bread there, and we say grace, and we break down the word. We share it a couple times a week, me and my wife and our kids. And this happened, you know, it's been going. So you got your core guys and girls that have been there for a year plus, you know, and then you got the next set that's just kind of hanging out, and you got the ones driving by, but there's something that they see that they keep coming back. They keep, you know what I mean? There's something there. The food's good there, but I know they keep coming back for something more than that. And so one of the gentlemen on maybe the third or the fourth ring out, so to speak, he texted me one day last week. On Wednesday before study on Thursday, he said, "Hey, can we get together, Brother Stace, and tell me about this book of Acts that you guys are studying on Thursday nights?" And he wanted to get together. I said, "Yeah, for sure. Show up about 3:30, and I'll explain to you the book of Acts real quick and get you up to speed for the study that night." And so he shows up, and then we kind of spit and sputter, and I kind of get a figure. Not anybody just shows up to your house and wants to learn about Acts real quick. So being the really quick guy that I am, I realized there's something going on here. And, so I just asked him, you know, I said, "So what's really up? You know, what's going down?" And he says, "Well, you know, I like to know Jesus more, you know?" And I said, "Well, do you know Jesus?" He said, "Well, I've prayed this prayer several, 2, 3, 4 times, you know, by myself, but, he goes, "I don't see, you know, what's going on. What's going on here? I don't see here, me, you know." He says, "But I don't think," he said, "I talked to him, but I don't think he hears what I'm saying. I don't think, you know, like God don't understand him." And I said, "Well, what's up?" He said, "Well, when I pray to him, you know, he's not answering." And I said, "Well, okay, well, let's back up, you know. Let's make sure that," I said, "have you accepted Christ?" And he said, "Yeah, 2 or 3 times." And I said, "No, I mean, have you sat down and ask Christ to come into your life, be your Lord and your Savior?" And he said, I said, "It's important that we make sure from this point on that this has been accomplished." And he said, "I'd like to try it again." I said, "Okay, we'll try it again." So I just stood up and I put my hand over his head and kind of told him what was going to be said, you know, and the things that we need to. You got to, in my house, we teach these youngsters that we fear that it's a belief of the head and not a belief in the heart. You know, it's very, very important that they understand that they're giving their heart and to Christ. And he said, "Yeah, I get it. That's cool." So we pray, and I just felt the Spirit of God drop down through this kid's body. And he said, "I feel a lot different, man." Me too. But that's what's going on. Amen. The Spirit's here. You guys don't bring him. He's here and he's waiting on you. We need a move. We need a move. He chose you. So if you don't, I mean, you got Christ, you got the Spirit, but if your spirit ain't kicking it alive and screaming well and a burden for the lost, then get with these people, man. These guys right here are great guys, man. I'd stay away from this one. He is a little more aggressive than this one, but we need our spirit awoken. We need to turn the key on the motor. We need to get busy, man, because there's people out there that are dying without Christ and kids that are being raised and brought to life without Christ. So get busy. Love you guys.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the harassment before I go. I have a group that happens on Wednesday nights, and we started this a while back. It's a bunch of guys that are getting together. Actually, it started with three of us, and it just kind of bloomed into something really awesome. Past couple weeks, it just seems like God has been moving in a way, and I said in first service, it's like, you know, we don't really have to do much. God is just kind of setting us up. It feels like us hitting the ball off the tee, right? It's just like already set up for us. And so this last couple weeks, we had a couple new guys show up, and these new guys showed up because there's people in our group that are hungry, want to see God move in an authentic way in their lives, and then they're just inviting people from their works and inviting people that they see that are broken. And so 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago, a guy comes to our group that's invited by one of his coworkers is actually in the group, and his life is broken, right? He has a broken marriage right now and going through some stuff, and he talks at the very beginning. He's like, I've never even stepped foot in a church. I was like, oh, that's great. Do you mind if we stand up and put our hands on you and pray for you? And he looks at me like, what does that mean? You know, so we stood up, all of us guys, we prayed for him. We could tell that it affected him emotionally. And so we just sat back down, went about our study. At the end of our study, I was like, so, hey, man, what'd you think? What are you feeling? What's going through your mind? And he's just like, looked kind of shocked because he's like, no one's ever asked me that kind of question before. But he started saying like, oh, yeah, you know, it's good for me to be here because I need to get my life right. I need to get things in order. I need to be a better person. And that just kind of gave us a segue to talk about what the gospel is. It's not about what you can do to get to God, but it's about inviting God in so he can begin to work through your life and lead you into the right places. And so, like, this guy's like, yeah, I want that. And so it's just like, we already could tell that God was doing something. All we did was, like, literally have to ask a question, do you want that? And he said, yes. And so we prayed for him. The very next week, another coworker from their work showed up and says, I want Jesus too. And so it's cool to see what God is doing there. So
that's awesome. Listen, this is a lifestyle that we're to live. And I love, you know, Stacy looks different than Chad. Chad looks different than me. We're all different kind of people in here, but we all have a circle of people that we connect with. And you touch people and are connected with people in your circle that I will never influence and I'll never come into contact with. And the same thing with my circle. But we have to begin to see that the people that we're connected with, the circles that we're connected with, they're part of our responsibility. They're part of our calling. They're part of the thing that actually the Holy Spirit wants us to engage in. He wants us to bless them. He wants us to ask them questions like, do you have a relationship with God? What's going on in your life? Are you ready to reach out for him? And this is the time to do it, folks. This is the time to do it because the harvest really is ready. People are hungry. This is a season like we haven't had in a long time where people are open to receive from the Lord. And so I just want to really kind of segue right from that because it really is my message this morning to talk to you for the next few minutes about how how you're commissioned, for everyone that's in the house, that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you actually have a commissioning from the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to take notes this morning. It's a simple outline, but there's some things here that I think will be important for you to write down. So there's some blank sheets in the seat backs in front of you. You can pull out one of those to take notes. I want you to write at the top, everyone is commissioned by the Spirit. Our title of the message, everyone is commissioned by the Spirit. If you want to follow along on your iPad or your phone device, your Android device, whatever, it's our notes this morning are on the Bible app or the YouVersion app, and just go under the More tab, the dot, 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 if you're on a phone, and go to events, and you'll see under the Koinonia list that our notes are there for today. I want to start with a verse that Pastor Candace read last week out of Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. It's a fascinating series of verses. It's written by the prophet Isaiah, who lived 700 years before Christ, 700 years B.C. And Isaiah is an amazing man of God who so many powerful prophecies within that book, but many of those refer specifically to Jesus Christ and his coming as Messiah on the earth. And in chapter 61 here, what we see is a statement that is really a purpose statement for the ministry of Jesus. And what's really interesting about this is that Jesus, when he began his ministry on the earth in the city of Nazareth, where he was born, he went into the synagogue one day at the beginning of his ministry, and they asked him to read the reading for that day out of the scroll of Isaiah. Now, in that day, even today in the synagogues all over the world, they will have a reading from the scriptures, from the Jewish scripture, which we know as our Old Testament, and they have a specific reading that's happening every day, and so it's not just some kind of random thing, but it was based on the scrolls, and they would progressively work through the scrolls because they didn't have the Bible like we have it now. And as Jesus came in, as the tradition often was, they would ask someone in the group to do that reading, to read the reading for today. Well, the reading for that day when Jesus walked into the synagogue was these verses that I'm going to read to you right now. And so he walked up to the front, he opened up the scroll of Isaiah to chapter 61, and this is what Jesus read on that day 2,000 years ago, which was written by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before that. It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Somebody say, upon me. "Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Jesus reads those verses, he closes the scroll, and he looks at the crowd and he says, "This has been today fulfilled in your hearing." As he read, now, God the Father, from the foundation of the universe, who knew all things, he knew the exact day that Jesus would step into that synagogue in Nazareth. He knew the reading that he would read. He knew that Jesus, these three verses that he would read, would be a declaration of his purpose on the earth, which was to proclaim the good news, to set the captive free, to open the blind eyes, to bring things that were dead back to life, to take things that are broken and restore them, to take ashes and turn them into beauty. God knew from the very foundation of the earth, and he put things together in his plan, gave the words to Isaiah 700 years prior, and then Jesus just happens, of course it wasn't just happens to walk in on that day, and he reads the thing that is this purpose statement for his entire ministry. What a powerful and awesome God that we serve. But the thing is, it's not just enough just to marvel at the fact that this was Jesus' ministry, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to do these things. The reality is that same Spirit Spirit that was upon Jesus as he declared that statement in Nazareth in the synagogue 2,000 years ago is the same Spirit that rests on you today. For every person that's here that has a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you have given your life to him, that you've declared that he is Lord and King over your life, that same Spirit that was on Jesus that raised him from the dead, Paul says, is upon you and it's upon me. That same purpose and that same calling that was upon Jesus is actually upon you today. Now listen, I want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to stick your elbow in their side. And I want you to say to them, pay attention. You need to hear this. I want you to tell your other neighbor, look back the other way, say, look out, he's excited today. Listen, this is a big deal. This is not just something that's nice to know. This is not head knowledge that we're talking about this morning. This is actually a purpose that we have been given. This is a power that now dwells inside of us. This is a presence that walks with us. And it's so very important for us to understand that the same Spirit that was on Jesus is upon us. And that means something. It doesn't just mean something to make us feel good. It's not just for us just to be able to overcome things. It's actually to cause us to do something as a result. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. He's speaking to his disciples right before he ascends back into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father where he is today, seated on the throne of grace, continuing to wait for all those who would respond to him to usher them into kingdom. This is what he says to his disciples and what he says to us. He says, behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Somebody say, upon you. I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. Just as he declared, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, now the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. It's upon me. It was upon the disciples when they received the Holy Spirit in the second chapter of Acts. And when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive something that comes upon you, the person of the Holy Spirit, which is the presence of Jesus manifest with us today. It is now upon us. So I'm going to drill down for the next few moments on what that means, upon me. When we talk about upon me, I want you to know the Holy Spirit is upon you. First of all, if you're taking notes, write that down. Number one, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you believe that this morning? Listen, if you don't know that, you need to know that. If you want the Holy Spirit, first of all, you need Jesus Christ, and he is the door to the Holy Spirit. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He will give you the Holy Spirit. If you make him king of your life, you give him your heart, not just your belief system, as Stacy said. It's not just changing only your beliefs. It's actually repenting and turning from the way that you lived your life before, giving your whole heart, life, and everything you do to Jesus Christ, making him king of everything. Then he comes upon you. What does that mean? First of all, it means this. I'm going to give you like four things, but they're bullet points, just in case you're crazy on your outline taken. This is the first bullet, okay? Upon me speaks of a powerful and permanent presence of the Holy Spirit, both around and inside the believer. A powerful and permanent presence of the Holy Spirit, both around and inside the believer. That phrase, come upon, in the Greek, it means something. It actually speaks of a whole new set of circumstances that are coming upon a person. That when you receive the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you, what it means is that things change. It means that there's a difference. You're not just the same person that has something added. There's actually a whole new set of circumstances that comes upon you that changes the very nature of who you are. It brings you, your dead spirit, back to life. It brings you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It opens up the door for heaven to you. So then now when you pray to God, you go right into his presence. He hears every prayer. Your spirit says to his spirit, Abba, Father, Daddy, God, I'm now connected with you. There's been a shift of your mindset, a shift of the way that you see things, a shift of you being dead spiritually to being alive spiritually. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it means there is now a complete change. And the great news is a permanent, presence of the Holy Spirit. It's both powerful and permanent. It's not going anywhere. The Holy Spirit ain't going to leave you because you screw up. The Holy Spirit isn't going to leave you because you have a bad thought. The Holy Spirit isn't going to leave you because you went in the wrong direction. The good news is once the Holy Spirit, when you have received him, when he has come upon you, then now you are a saint according to the Father. Now when Jesus looks at you, when the Father looks at you, he sees Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of Jesus, and he sees you as forever changed. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You get a ticket to heaven, thank God, but more than that, you get the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. David says in the Psalms, he says, where can I go from your Spirit? He says, doesn't matter. I can go up to the mountaintop, you're there. I go to the depths of the ocean, you're there. There's no place I can go that you're not with me. That's the reality of who the Holy Spirit is upon you if you know him. If you have given yourself to Jesus Christ, then he has come upon you, and you had better start acting like it. Stop doubting it. Stop ignoring it. Stop acting like, you know, it doesn't make any difference. The reality is, thank you, Jesus, you've baptized me in the Holy Spirit. That means I have access to your throne room, and everything that I need you have supplied, because there is now a permanent presence of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, upon me speaks of a personal encounter with the Holy Spirit that results in being filled and overflowed with the Holy Spirit. So not only is it a presence, not only is he with you, but there's an activity that he does of filling you. Paul speaks about it. I love in the verse when he says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Greek actually is indicating there a continuous filling. It's a being filled. It's a filling that happens over and over again. It's not a one-time filling where one time you got the warm and fuzzies that came up the back of your neck and you got the shivers for a second and yes, I was filled with the Holy Spirit at one point. It is a constant refilling that has to happen that is part of the inheritance of the believer, because I don't know about you, when I ignore the Lord, when I go through life, I discover I get farther and farther away from him. I am less and less filled with him, and I am more prone to go into a direction that I shouldn't go. But when I turn back around and I come to the Lord and he fills me again, I find I am equipped and empowered to face what I need to face in that day. There's a filling that's available. There's a power that's available. There's an experience that's available. And I love how Paul compares it to drinking. Not that any of you would be familiar with this, but I'm going to talk to you about what happens when you drink, okay? I don't know, man. I've heard about it before, that if you take a drink, when he says, be not drunk with wine, often you don't get drunk by accident. I mean, I know that's how you say it happens, right? Or your friends say it happens. Oops, I drank one too many, right? The reality is, if you're going to get drunk, that normally means that you have to take one and drink it, and then you have to take another one and drink it. And there's generally a focus that happens of choosing to take the glass and bring it to your lips and actually swallow the liquid and let it go down and change and affect your body. And before you know it, there is a drunkenness that happens because of an intentionality of embracing that thing that's in front of you. Paul says it's just the same way with the Holy Spirit. He says, don't be drunk with wine. That'll get you in trouble. That'll ruin your relationships. That'll get you fired from work. That'll do all kinds of stuff that you don't want to do. If you make that a lifestyle and a habit, you're going to find that that takes you in the wrong direction. But he says, on the other hand, be filled with the Spirit. Be drunk with the Spirit, in other words, which means that you're going to have to be intentional about it, which is often what we don't do. Right? We often don't put our intention, we don't actually take steps, we don't move forward, we don't take the cup and bring it to our lips expecting that something will happen. We just kind of wishfully think, well, Lord, I hope you fill me today. It's time for us to stop acting as if the Holy Spirit, who is a gift, that he doesn't actually want to have a relationship with us. He does. He wants us to push in. He wants us to take a drink. And if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, let me just tell you, you are as full of the Holy Spirit as you want to be. So if you're not full of the Holy Spirit this morning, it's time for you to take another sip. It's time for you to belly up to the bar, so to speak. Not the bar that I'm, the bar that I'm talking about, right? You're here this morning. You're at the right bar, okay? We want more of the Spirit. I want more of the Spirit. So God, that means I'm going to have to press in. That means I might have to pray. That means I might have to worship. Sometimes I'm surprised that we come to church and we won't even sing and we won't even lift our hands as if standing in church is going to do something for you. I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't. It won't do much for you. What will get you full of the Holy Spirit is if you begin to raise your hands, you begin to lift your voice, you begin to shout to the Lord, not because you're just standing here, but because you're engaging your will and you're saying to God, I want more of you, Lord. Would you please fill me right now? I'm going to worship you. I'm going to declare who you are, and I need who you are to face my life, and so would you fill me? And as we are filled, then that's the Holy Spirit coming upon us. Thirdly, upon me speaks of a powerful personal anointing that equips and empowers the believer to do the work of the Spirit. The good news is you have what you need for your family, for your marriage, for your work, for your friends, for this community. When you have the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is upon you, that means the most powerful person of the universe, you have access to them. That means you can have the mind of Christ. You can think his thoughts. That means that everything that you face in your life, you have what is needed. Not because you're so smart, but because he's so smart. Not because you're powerful, but because he's all powerful. He knows everything. He's the most powerful being in the universe. And so there is a personal anointing that's on you. Now, that may be not a familiar concept for you. You don't walk around maybe thinking, I'm anointed. I just want to tell you, if you have the Holy Spirit, you're anointed. Anointing means you have been separated for a purpose, and you have been given what is needed to fulfill that purpose. Right? You've been separated for a purpose. The Holy Spirit has come upon you. You've given your life to Jesus. He now has a purpose for you. He's anointed you with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and now he has empowered you to go forward and to do things that you thought you could never do on your own, that you thought you would that would never happen. He'll heal and restore relationships and situations that you thought were broken and you'd given up on a long time ago. He'll bring back things that were dead inside of you, dreams and purposes that he planted in you from the very beginning, that you screwed up and you thought it would never be a second chance. Because you have been given all that is needed by the Holy Spirit, then he has given you an anointing to step into a new realm. Thank God for his permanent presence. Thank God for his powerful anointing. And thank God, fourthly, for his Holy Spirit commissioning to speak words to people. Now, I said it a moment ago, the reason that you have the Holy Spirit is not just to make you feel good. It's not just to give you warm and fuzzies. It's not just for you to be an overcomer in your life, although that's all true. Thank God. Thank God he's made me an overcomer through his Holy Spirit. Thank God I have everything that I need and that my family is blessed because of it. Thank God that I'm walking in his ways and actually he's steering me and directing my course and opening up things in front of me because I have his Holy Spirit. But the purpose is not just for me. The purpose of the Holy Spirit's anointing on your life ain't just for you. It's actually for others. Acts 1:8 says this, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to us. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then he says, the purpose for the power. So you will be my witnesses. The purpose for the power of the Holy Spirit, the purpose for his abiding presence and his personal encounter and his personal anointing is that you would actually be one who would share the good news of Jesus with others. That you would see yourself as equipped and commissioned and called to carry that same message that Jesus carried, to actually be a living embodiment of Jesus on the earth. When he says to us, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, that means now there is an entrance that you and I have into the very calling that Jesus had on the earth, which is to set the captive free, to open blind eyes, to preach good news to the poor, to say there's a new day that has come. Heaven is open. Good news. You can get in. Everybody's invited. And now we carry that message to the world. What does it mean to proclaim the good news? This is in your notes, number 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim good news. He's commissioned us to tell the good news. Well, what's the good news? I think that's a good question. I'm glad that you asked. Let's talk about what the good news is. Well, there's good news of God's forgiveness. Thank God that when we come into Jesus, His blood washes our sin and makes us, as it says in the scripture, white as snow. And actually, God, when he looks at us, he has a kind of holy amnesia about our past. Because when we're in Jesus, all of our sins are not only forgiven, but he chooses to forget them, which is incredible. Because when I think sometimes the way we think about God and how he looks at us is we think God looks at us and he says, well, Andrew, yeah, man, he is so fortunate to have Jesus because he's getting in by the skin of his teeth. That kid, he's got some major problems. I'm so glad that he barely gets in. No, that's not how he looks at us at all. He actually, when he looks at us, he doesn't see our past. He doesn't see our mistakes. He doesn't see our sin because Jesus Christ has covered us and washed us. When he looks at us, he sees perfection. He sees us as we are designed to be because of the grace and goodness of Father. Now, that is some good news for some people who need forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I need to be forgiven. There's a history that I have in life. There's things that I've done in life and things that I will do that I need to be forgiven from. And the good news is, no matter what you've done, no matter what your history is, no matter how bad you've been, no matter how far you've gone, there is forgiveness that's available to you right now, today, that your future can be different. And God, when he looks at you, he says, you're my son, you're my daughter, I love you, and I completely accept you. Would you come to the table because I prepared it for you? Man, that's good news of God's forgiveness. There's good news of freedom. He has come to set us free. We don't have to be in chains to sin. We don't have to be in bondage to addiction. We don't have to be subject to the ways that the world thinks about things. He's actually setting us free from a world system. He's setting us free from the power of the enemy. He's setting us free from the power of sin. Thank God there is freedom today for all those who feel like they're under it. They got the monkey on their back. They haven't ever been able to get free. Jesus says today there's freedom that's available. There's good news of restoration. He takes those things that are broken and he brings them back to life. We thought they were dead. We had given up on them, but he's a God who restores. He takes those things that are burnt up and they're ashes and they're ugly and it seems it's never going to, ever going to change. And he loves to make beauty out of ashes. He loves to take things that you thought would never come back to life again. No one could make anything beautiful out of this mess. And he specializes in making beauty out of ashes. There's good news for destiny, that you have a purpose in this life. I want to tell you, if you're here in the house today, if you're watching online, I want you to know you have a purpose. Young or old, whatever your background is, whatever your history is, no matter what you feel right now, God has a destiny for you. He has a purpose for you. Scripture actually says he set things up. Pastor Chad said a few moments ago, it's like he's setting it up on a tee ball for us to hit. He has set things up in your life in such a way, good works that he's prepared in advance for you to do, is what it says in Ephesians. And all we have to do is follow in his path, and right in front of us are the opportunities that he has already prepared from the very foundation of the world for us to be involved in. And he's just setting it up for us. Thank God. That's some good news. I think that's good news. Number three. We don't want to go backwards. We're going forwards, right? Number three, you can write this down. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to turn people from darkness to light. Colossians 1:13 says this, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He delivered us from the domain of darkness. And when we talk about the domain of darkness, we're talking about a domain is a place where Satan has authority, that he actually exercises an authority that he's actually stolen, but he exercises it over human hearts, lives, and activities. And the whole world, except for Jesus Christ, is under the domain and dominion of darkness. And the Lord's purpose, the good news of the gospel, is that it brings freedom from the domain of darkness. It moves people out of one place into another place. It moves people from death into life. It moves people from darkness into light. It changes people from the inside out. People that were dead in their sin now come alive to Christ. That is the good news that we carry today. And so when the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, we get to say to people, you can be free from this thing. The problem with darkness is that darkness is dark. And it's so difficult for people to see hope. They can't see a future. They can't see their way out of it. If you've ever been trapped in darkness, then you know it's a miserable place to be. And sometimes people get so hopeless and they get so lost and they get so wrapped up in things that they think there could never be a way out. And we get to step in and say, I got some good news for you. There's one who can take you out of this place and bring you into another place. You're not destined to die here. You're destined to live for eternity. You're not going to stay in this place. There's someone that's going to rescue you and deliver you out of the domain of darkness and bring you into the domain of light. Now, that's some good news. Number four, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to help people move forward spiritually. As a church, we want to believe what the Scripture says, that as a people of God, we're designed to win. We're designed to grow. We're designed to move forward. We're designed to take territory. So you're actually designed to move forward spiritually. You're going to just need to take another step. I don't know where you're at today, spiritually speaking. You just need to take another step. What's your next step? You just need to, because we're going to keep moving. We're going to keep moving forward as a church. We're not going to believe what the world says, that we're going to be stuck, that we're not going to change, that there's no hope, that this thing's going in a downward spiral, that somehow we might as well just all give up because there's nothing good to look forward to. Don't you see the world? It's all, there's war, there's rumors of war, every system's broken, it's hopeless, forget it, let's get out of here. I want to tell you, that is a lie. There's good news today. The good news is we're moving forward. The good news today, God has good things in store for you. We're moving forward out of confusion into direction so that we can see and know where we're going. Boy, that's what people need today. So many people are confused about their direction. They're not sure what the next step is, what the whole purpose is. We're moving out of hopelessness and into a clear knowledge and expectation. There is hope. There is actually something we're looking forward to. We're not trapped in this place. We're moving out of being trapped in out-of-control sexual desires into freedom and self-discipline. So many people are trapped in that place. Their sexual desires are driving them. They're in chains of addiction and bondage. They've said yes to themselves too many times. Now they have no longer any control in that area of their lives, and it's beginning to drag them down. Good news, we're moving out of that. Good news, the Holy Spirit is breaking that. He's giving people freedom. We're moving out of miserable dungeons to magnificent palaces of freedom and joy. Hallelujah. When you know Jesus Christ, He can bring you freedom. He can bring you life. He can bring you hope. He can bring you joy. You might have situations in your life that seem impossible, but when He is in your heart and in your mind, you know, even though it's impossible with man, it's not impossible with God. I can have an expectation that He's working things out, that He's actually on my side, that we're moving forward. He's moving people out of slavery and darkness into light and freedom. Boy, thank God for that. And we don't have to stay in those chains. You know, those six areas: out of confusion into direction, out of hopelessness into clear knowledge, out of being trapped in an out-of-control addiction in your life, out of miserable dungeons, and out of slavery. I just want to take a second, and I know in a room of this size, that might be you. Those might speak to you right now. You might be saying, like, I'm in that place, and I need to move out of that place. I don't want to be in this place any longer. And so I just want to pray for you. That's what the Holy Spirit is here to do, is here to move you forward. He's here to set you free. So just bow your heads right where you're at. I'm not ending the service yet, so don't, like, get all nervous or something. But, like, if this speaks to you, one of those six things speaks to you, you're feeling confused today and you need direction. You're feeling hopeless today. And you just need the Lord to begin to breathe a clarity of knowledge and expectation. You feel trapped today in an addiction. Perhaps it's a sexual addiction. Perhaps it's a substance abuse problem. But you're feeling trapped today and out of control, and you need freedom. You're feeling miserable today, and you need God to take you into a different place and fill you with hope and joy. Or you're just feeling like you're in slavery today. If that's you, if one of those things speaks to you, just raise your hand and raise it up high, because I want to pray for you right now. Just raise up high. There's hands all over the audience. I want to take you one more step. Everybody's bowing their head, so this is not really about anybody else anyway. Just stand to your feet. Let me just pray for you. Just right now, stand to your feet. You're just taking a step of faith. You're saying, Lord, I'm going to move forward. I'm gonna reach out right now for your spirit and moving forward. Yeah, yeah, come on, stand up. Don't hide there. You raise your hand and just stay sitting down. This is for you. Lord Jesus, we're coming to you right now. Church, let's just begin to pray. We're coming to you. Thank you, God, that you're a God that moves us forward. You're a God that sets us free. You're a God that opens impossible situations. You're a God that gives clarity and confusion. You're a God, Lord Jesus, that gives hope when we're hopeless. You take dead things and bring it back to life. You open blind eyes. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, by the power of your spirit, we just pray for our brothers and sisters that are standing right now. Set them free. Move them forward. Give them new vision. We're praying, God, for a breakthrough in their lives right now. We're praying for new hope to come in hopeless situations. We're praying for purpose, Lord, to be birthed in their hearts right now. We're praying for a breakthrough spirit, God, to overcome the power of the enemy, the addictions and things that have held them in chains of bondage. No more, we say in the name of Jesus. Let there be a new power that comes upon them, a fresh breath of your Holy Spirit that fills them. Lord Jesus, today is a new day for these brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus, let your spirit fall upon them and set them free and move them forward so that today is a new day, and a new thing is going to happen. In the name of Jesus, we declare this and pray. Amen. 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 Take your seats. Let me just conclude with this last point here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to restore the prodigal. Restore the prodigal. The prodigal is one who has gone away from the Lord. At one point, they knew the Lord. At one point, they were in his house. At one point, they were following him. But for whatever reason, they have gone away from him. And there is an anointing and a commissioning that God has for us. This house is a place where the prodigal can return. This house is a place where those who have gone away can be restored. We're going to bring people back into relationship with God. That's part of the commissioning that we have. We're bringing people back into the house. It's not too late. The game is not over. They might think that it's too late for them. They've fallen too far. They've gone away. Maybe sometimes we find we have even given up hope that they could be changed and restored. But the Holy Spirit has commissioned us to be able to kind of people, to be the kind of people to speak into their lives and to draw them back into relationship with the Lord. Let me just conclude with this poem that I think is so powerful, written by a teacher some 60 years ago, speaking of a second chance and a new day, the fact that it's not over for us. It's a story of a student. He came to my desk with a quivering lip. The lesson was done. Have you a new sheet for me, dear teacher? I've spoiled this one. I took his sheet all soiled and blotted and gave him a new one, all unspotted. And into his tired heart I cried, "Do better now, my child." I went to the throne of God, with a trembling heart. The day was done. Have you a new day for me, dear master? I've spoiled this one. Anybody ever feel like that? I've spoiled this one, God. Boy, I don't know what to do. I made a mess of this day. Things I said, the things I did, and I lay my head on the pillow. I feel like a failure. I feel like, you know, I don't even know how you could accept me or love me. I've spoiled this one, God. He took my day, all soiled and blotted, and gave me a new one, all unspotted. And into my tired heart, he cried, "Do better now, my child." Thank you, God, for second chances. We're people of second chances. We're people of restoration. We're people of hope. The day is, there's a new day, a day full of grace, a day full of vision, a day full of hope. It's not over for you, my friends, and it's not over for our friends and neighbors. It's not over for our community. It's not over for the gangs that are in the gang war right now in Hanford. It's not over for those that are far away from God and revile him and have declared that they don't even believe in him. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. God is on the move, and he's looking for people like you who would share with others, simply invite them to know more about his son. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. Let me just highlight for you as we close the purple book. You've heard this mentioned over the last couple of weeks. It's simply a tool that we're using in the house to help people know. It's basically the foundations of faith in Jesus Christ. For those that come to faith in Jesus and are new, this is designed to be a very simple but very powerful step-by-step explanation of what it is to follow Jesus, how we can actually come into daily relationship with him, how we can be rooted in our faith. Listen, if we don't get people rooted in the foundations of their faith, then when the next storm comes, they'll wash right back out to sea. The first step is salvation, but then they have to be rooted and planted in God's house, and they have to be rooted in spiritual foundation. So this is a tool that we're using. It's available at guest services for $5. It's really available for anybody that wants it. Maybe you just need to study it and grow deeper in your faith, but it's really designed to take anyone through as they're a new Christian to learn about how to follow Jesus step by step. Very, very simple. They're $5, just kind of at our cost at guest services, and from now until whenever we'll have them available for you, because it's just such a powerful, powerful way to help people walk. And you can take somebody to coffee every week, once a week, and go through that book and disciple them into what it is to be following Jesus day by day. Well, there's classes that we're doing this in as well. There's a class Wednesday night that's a drop-in class. If you're new to the faith, you want to grow in your faith, that's a great opportunity. There's other ones as well that you can plug into on the Church Center app. Would you stand to your feet with me? I just want to conclude by commissioning you, because if you have the Holy Spirit of God, then you are commissioned. You're commissioned, which means you're empowered, you're anointed, you're gifted. You may not feel empowered or anointed or gifted. You may not feel like you have what it takes, but the reality is if you have the Spirit of God, you have what it takes. You have all that you need. You have the one that can give you the words and give you the power and give you the encouragement and give you the gifts and give you the tools. So if you would just close your eyes and raise your hands, let me just commission you. Just raise your hands to heaven. Lord Jesus, right now, by your power, I just once again confirm the commissioning that's upon your people. For all the house of Quinonia, everybody that's in the house right now, everybody that's online that's listening, just receive right now his enabling power that comes by virtue of his Holy Spirit. It's not because of what you know. It's not because of who you are, other than you're a child of God. You've been given his Holy Spirit. He's written his name upon you and over you. And so everything that you're facing in your life, he's got it covered. He's got what is needed. And Lord, I commission these men and women to go out and to share the good news. Lord, when they're afraid, that courage would take over their heart. When they're uncertain, that they would have with clarity of thought and mind, they would know exactly what to say. Lord, that they would be courageous to step forward, to ask questions, to give invitations, to open up the door of heaven for people. Lord, to simply begin to reach out with faith that you can change their families, you can change their community, you can save their coworkers, you can save their kids, you can bring people into the kingdom. Use them, Lord Jesus. Use us to change this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.